hope, have hope toward God. Acts 24:1-23. In life, there are many events that comes causing us to lose hope, to become weary, causing our energy to be sagging, our motivation lagging. We realize as believers how much we are in need of hope and strength to live life, to overcome the weariness of life. For those who are young, they carry the responsibility of studies. Those who are working, they carry the responsibilities of a working life. And those who are older, nearing their retirement age, you see that the body becomes weaker. Some are unable to come for worship with us because their bodies have weakened with time, and sometimes weakened quickly in a short time. And we realize that this world that we live in is not a permanent home. And we see how we need to renew our strength. We need the fresh touch of God so that we can be strengthened to walk life, to live life, and to face the challenges that comes in life. And those who have overcome weariness in life and able to find strength again, not just to fly like the eagles, but to soar, the Bible says, to overcome and to triumph through the weariness of life. As you look at the world around you, you realize the chaotic nature of life, the lawlessness that is in the world today. It seems we are unable, or the world is unable, to find a solution to the chaos, to the disorderliness, to the lawlessness. But we know that in Jesus Christ, when we have hope toward God, there is a way out to find order to life. And it starts with a personal relationship with God. And God has revealed Himself to us through His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all who know Him have the strength to overcome and be triumphant in life. Jesus gave these words to His disciples in John 16:33. These were His last words to His disciples before He went to the cross. He says these words in John 16:33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." When you have Jesus Christ with you at the center of your life, and you are living with Jesus Christ, hiding behind the cross, this is a blessed and happy life. Those who have found true blessings find true blessing in life through Jesus Christ alone. An old saint concluded about life. He said these words about 200 years ago. He says, "True blessings are found in Jesus Christ alone. Everything outside of Christ is under the curse. All blessings are treasured up in Him and can only be received and enjoyed by union to and communion with Him. And this is the reason why we are standing before you in local churches all over the world to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Because He alone, in Him, is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. If we are separated from Him, our life and our work will be profitless, will profit us nothing. But if you have Jesus Christ with you, whether you are studying, whether you are working, whether you are in your days of retirement, it's a happy life because He takes care of you. He bears all your burden. He brings you through the tribulations in life. And you can call upon Him to help you. He gives you access to a kind and loving Heavenly Father. And God will call you His friend. You have a friendship with the Almighty God that for anything that comes in life, you're not afraid. There is no fear because you know that you have the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, who have made you, is also sustaining you, your Savior. And finally, one day, He's going to glorify you. This earthen body of ours is going to one day return to the dust. But if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in the day when He would return again, the world would fear because He would come as a judge. But for us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were received through Him a glorified body. No loss for all who know Him. No loss at all. And we are able to live this life as a witness for Jesus Christ. As a witness to what God is going to do for us, bringing us to heaven, giving to us glory to come. And in the meantime, we are willing to serve Him with the time, the energy, the strength that He gives to us. When we see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face, He's going to give to us a crown of righteousness which fadeth not away. And He is giving to us treasures in heaven. How wonderful it is to have the hope of eternal life and the treasures to come. This is how the Apostle Paul lived his life. He was looking to the reward that God would give to him. And we follow him in his missionary journey in Jerusalem. Right? He was there to be a witness for his Lord, that God had opened the door of salvation to the Gentile world. Right? The Jews take up perhaps just 0.1% of the world population. But God has a plan to save the other 99.9% or 99.99% of the world population. To pluck them from the fires of hell and give to them the hope of heaven. And so this was the Apostle Paul's life as he was a witness for the Lord. And he was brought to Jerusalem. And you recall how when he was there in Jerusalem, how he faced great persecution. Because he tells them that if you know Jesus Christ, your life would be made whole. If you know Jesus Christ, God, through him, would take away all curse, the curse of sin, the curse of death, and give to you eternal life. And this was not a message that the people wanted to hear. And his own countrymen, the Jews, especially the leaders in Israel, despised that message. And so he, as a witness for the Lord, had to be willing to be strong and courageous as a witness, even though there were many persecutors and oppositions that come before him. And so the two thoughts that we want to bring to you, the warrior, verses 1 to 9, and the way, verse 10 to 23, the warrior, he was standing before the king Felix, the governor of Judea, and they brought before him a man called Tertullian. He was a lawyer. He was a man who was brought so that they may accuse him that he is a terrible person, that he is someone who disturbed the quietness of the land. He is a pestilent, our text tells us, that he is a mover of sedition, a ringleader. This was all the things that were heard upon him. And secondly, from verses 10 to 23, the way he was there to proclaim to them how to find order in their lives. How, when they take their last breath, absent in the body, is present with the Lord in heaven. And Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And God has provided this way through the Son of Man. And this is about 50 plus AD. Right? About 20 plus years since the ascension of Jesus Christ. And Paul was there to be a witness. And God told him when he was saved that he's going to stand before kings to testify of Jesus Christ. And verse 1 of our text, as we think of the first thought, the warrior, how there was a man that came to him to accuse him that he is a terrible person, that he is bringing disorder to the land of Israel. Is that true? No, it's not true. We know that in Jesus Christ, if you believe in him, there will be order in your life. When you have hope toward God, life will be made whole, even though you are going through great tribulation in life. And we see, and we recall here in verse 1 of our text, what happened. Verse 1 says, after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator, Tertullus. This was the man that was hired by the chief priest in Israel in order to accuse the Apostle Paul concerning the things of God. And you would see that you are living as a Christian in Satan's world. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And you find how this man speaks great words of accusation against this man of God. the Apostle Paul, who wanted to show them the better way to God. And so he began his speech by accusing him. Our text says in verse 2, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness," he says that this land has always been blessed, but now we have found this man here, this pestilent fellow, our text tells us, describing how this word there, is a literal description, that he was a troublemaker. He's a plague. It's a description of one who came to Israel and stirred up trouble, a mover of sedition. You remember when the Apostle Paul spoke, what was he doing? He was bringing them the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. If no one is willing to speak up, if you're, as a Christian, is unwilling to speak up for the Lord to the people around you, whether it's your classmate, whether it's your colleague in the workplace, whether it's some stranger that you met, they are not going to know the way to God. And oftentimes in life, we don't want to be a witness for the Lord because of the fear of persecution that would come to us when we would witness for the Lord. And we often like to enjoy the privilege, the blessings of the Christian life, and, you know, just lay back and be relaxed. I recall there was a time when I was in the church, and it was at that time that we were enjoying our fellowship with the Lord. In the study of His Word, in the singing of praises and hymns. And suddenly, I saw a bird flying toward us. And we were it was a glass window. And the bird came, and the bird hit the glass door. And I could see the bird falling down. Slowly. What a sight. And I was asking myself, I said to myself, that here am I, enjoying life, good time, worshipping the Lord, singing praises to God. But as you look at the world outside, it's a perilous world, a world where men and women are dying in their sins. And it causes us to think. It causes us to realize, what are we doing with all the blessings and all the good that we have received from the Lord? Well, it causes us to think and want to do something in our life for the Lord. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, it was like this. When he was saved, the Lord gave him back his sight. And the Lord used him to be a witness for him to the world. And how this man, you see, was willing, even at the risk of his own life, at the risk of his own reputation, at the risk of all that he possessed and owned, He was willing to stick everything for the Lord. And here you see him standing before a group of accusers. They call him the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Indeed, he was proclaiming Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Savior of the world. And they accused him also, verse 6 of our text says, of profaning the temple. What did he do? Well, he was being accused of bringing this man called Trophimus from Ephesus, who is a Gentile, into the church, or into the temple. The Gentiles were not allowed to enter the temple. Did Paul do that? He did not. It was an accusation that was brought against him. And now he was here, standing before the king, or the king Felix of Judea, and giving a witness. And all these accusations come upon him to malign him. And if you think, it would cost you to become indeed very discouraged. Right? If you have to be a witness for the Lord and to face such oppositions. Jesus Christ said these words to his disciples. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So the Apostle Paul is facing these accusations that come as he stand before the king. And Jesus did warn his disciples during his lifetime. What did Jesus say? The disciple is not above his master, Matthew 10:24. Nor the servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, how much shall they call them of his household? So he's telling you that you, living as a Christian, willing to be a witness for the Lord, willing to stand on the order of the laws that God has given to you to live your life, you are unwilling to be dishonest, you are unwilling to cheat, you are unwilling to give in to the crookedness in this world, whether in your school, in your workplace, you are willing to trust the Lord and do what is right in the sight of God. Well, Jesus says, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So he tells us that if you become a child, when you become a child of God, you live as a child of God, and when you become a witness for the Lord, well, be willing to trust the Lord to protect you during this time. And Jesus says to his disciples, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And the one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Think not I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. So the Lord tells us that as you live this Christian life, it's going to become wearisome. Not easy if you want to walk the straight and narrow way. Not easy when you would not want to cheat like the world would do so. There is a price to pay in the sense. But the Lord tells us, trust me, I will take care. My laws are good laws. They are able to help you to live a blessed and indeed prosperous life on this earth. So the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Christians in Corinth, concerning all this accusation, persecution that he had to go through, he says, very wearisome. This is what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10. He says, we are fools for Christ, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. He's telling the Christians that, you know, he didn't have much of the things of this world. His priority, his prerogative was for the kingdom of God. He was a fool for Christ's sake, because he was willing to count all things but dunk in order to win Christ. And he says that we are treated as the filth of this world, as the offscouring, the worst, the dung, dirt. This is how we are treated. But we entreat it. We bear it, he says. Yeah, indeed, life as a Christian, you find that you are living against, in a way we said, the grind of society. You are going against the grind, what the norm is in society. You are not willing to build houses and tear down houses and build more houses. No, you are not going that way. And so for the Apostle Paul, when all these accusations came upon him, well, it was to tell him that his decision to follow Jesus Christ was a wrong one. But for him, he knew in his heart that Jesus Christ has saved him from all his sins and has given him hope of eternal life and wisdom how to live this life well. And he make a testimony before him. Verse 10 of our text. The second thought. The way. And that is what we ought to do. To proclaim the way to God in Jesus Christ. Be willing to share your life. Be willing to share the Christ that is in you. The blessings that you have received, be willing to share it with the people around you. This was what he was doing there. Why would he risk his life? Because he knew that he would not lose anything following his Lord, doing the will of his Father. And so, verse 10 of our text says, after this, the governor beckoned him to speak. And he spoke. And he testified. He says in verse 14 or verse 13, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. He tells them, you have accused me of bringing a Gentile to the temple. Where is the witness? There was no witness to the accusation. These are just words that are heard upon him. And so he defended himself. He says that the only reason why I'm here is because I'm here to confess with thee. Verse 14 of our text says, right, we will look there, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. So what is he trying to say? He's saying that the Old Testament scriptures that the Jews believed in testify the way to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, 6. And Paul tells them, do you know this God of the Old Testament? It is revealed to you in Jesus Christ. And if you have hope toward Him, then you have the hope of a resurrection to come. You know, today we have this contention in Singapore whether a body is to be burned after a person dies or whether the body is to be buried when a person dies. Well, the Bible tells us, right, that we bury our dead. And so the question that comes is this, that what do we do? Well, with all the laws that comes, do we stop what the Bible tells us we ought to do? Well, I encourage you to say no. We ought to simply trust the Lord and do what the Lord tells us to do. Bury our dead and trust the Lord as we testify before the world that there is a resurrection of the dead. That is why we bury our dead. That at the day of consummation, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those who are alive will be caught up with the Lord in the air. And this is what the Lord wants us to have, that hope of the resurrection. And this is what the Old Testament teaches in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is what we are doing. To be a witness for the Lord. Simple. By all this that we do for the Lord. That there is a resurrection. This is what the Apostle Paul was trying to share. Among the Jews there, there were half of them, of the Sadducees, who do not believe that there is a resurrection. That Christ died and rose again, victorious over death and sin. And so the Apostle Paul had to reason with the people and to tell them that I have a clear conscience because I'm sharing with you the way of truth. And he says in verse 16, herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. It's a happy life, right? When you testify and share with the people around you the way to God, show them how they can receive blessings from the Lord. And so he is saying to them that I lived a blessed and happy life. And the reason why I came to Jerusalem is because I have brought an offering for the people of God here who are suffering in Jerusalem. That's the reason why I'm here, and to share with them that the gospel work has gone to the Gentiles. The gospel work has gone out all over the Roman Empire. And the Lord is using the message and men and women energized by the Spirit to bring eternal life to a dying world. And this was the Apostle Paul's life as we look here at his testimony before Felix. And you see, in verse 22 and 23, Felix has nothing against him for what he had said, for all that has happened in the life of the Christians, right, since the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. What did the Christian do that brought harm to anyone? They did not. They only bring blessing. Right? You remember, right from the beginning, at the temple, beautiful, the man who was impotent, right, was unable to walk, paralyzed, entire life. What happened to him? Oh, he was given strength to walk again. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, your life will be made whole again. So many testimonies. Why wouldn't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe this is what the Lord would want to use us for whatever time that He has on earth. He wants you to be a witness for Him. Use your time wisely for the kingdom's sake. You would find that in eternity, there is nothing more, you know, that you can look back upon than these souls that has been won to the kingdom of God because you were willing to suffer some shame, suffer some persecution in order to share the word with them, in order to help them so that their life will be made whole and blessed of God again. They would have hope toward God. So may the Lord use His people. Be not afraid of the warrior. That's the first thought. Of the accuser. But be willing to be bold and courageous to proclaim the way. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for showing us the way to find eternal life and blessings, wholesome life on this earth. Lord, help us to take hold of Jesus Christ, the giver of blessing. For outside is indeed cursing. Lord, help us to see in perspective and be willing to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.